Well, let me just briefly give you an idea of what we're going to be doing this evening. We are going to trace our way through the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And with each of those petitions, we're going to begin with a time of praise and music. And then I'll briefly remind you of what we learned about what it means to pray that petition. And then we're going to pray. And we'll do that in a variety of ways. Sometimes we'll be led by some men in our church. Other times I'll lead you. Other times we'll have a time of silent prayer. And on one occasion, I'll encourage you to join together in some small groups for a short time of prayer as well. But a variety of expressing our hearts to the Lord as we walk through this together this evening. We begin, of course, with the first petition. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. A prayer that God's glory would be known across the known universe and around in our hearts. And so let's begin, as we should, with music that brings our hearts in praise, Lord Most High.
Let's stand together as we sing. Just the men. From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heaven,
from the heights of the heaven,
your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak,
from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people,
from the lips of all people,
this song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High, exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord Most High, be magnified.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heaven,
from the heights of the heaven,
your name be praised.
From the hearts of the weak,
from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people,
from the lips of all people,
this song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High, be magnified.
Beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite and fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. In awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of
just the ladies.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above.
Everyone sing.
And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. In all of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
This is really where true prayer begins, and it's where our Lord taught us to begin, focusing on the person of God Himself. I stand in awe of you. We're really not ready to pray until that's where our hearts begin, with recognizing the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, and asking that He would exalt Himself in our minds and in the world that He's made. Let me remind you of all that's involved in this first petition. In Hallowed Be Your Name, we're really praying for the glory of God. And we learned, and again, for those of you who weren't here, let me tell you that I am encapsulating in just a couple of sentences an entire message, so understand that there are a lot more nuances here, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the CDs or go online and listen to the messages. But this will give you, in a nutshell, what it means to say, God, may Your name be hallowed. It means, first of all, that we are to ask God to so work in this world that He's made that His name will be set apart, that His name will be treated as holy, that His name will be glorified. It means this, to say, God, I want You to sanctify or set apart or glorify both Your person and anything by which You have made Yourself known in the world. So whether it's all that we know about God, or whether it is His creation, or whether it's His provision for us, whatever it is that through which God has made Himself known to us, even His Word, that He would set Himself apart in our thinking and in the thinking of all of His creatures, that His name would be hallowed. Now, specifically when we pray this prayer, we're asking several things. And I'm going to give you tonight a guide. These will be more general, but please understand that you can make them, each of these, much more specific than I'm going to make them here. But of course, there are as many specific requests in this room as there are people, so I can't really capture those individual specifics. But let me give you some very real categories in which to pray that God's name would be set apart. First of all, ask God to help you always speak about Him and His holy things with reverence. We studied this together, that this is one way God is sanctified, one way God is glorified, is when we talk about Him in a way that brings Him honor. Spend time in prayer then, praising, adoring, and thanking God both for who He is, all those things that are true about Him, His love and grace and mercy and holiness and power, as well as what He's done in the creation, in redemption, in His provision, all of those things that God does that are an expression of His love to us. Spend time in prayer as part of this petition, praising God and thanking Him for all that He is and for all that He's done. We also pray this prayer when we ask God to use His Word to make sure that we think rightly about Him. You understand that our minds easily distort who God is? It was John Calvin who said the human heart is an idol factory. We produce idols because we think of God wrongly. And so ask God to use His Word to inform your thinking so that you think rightly about God. Ask Him to cause those in your life who don't believe to respond in faith to Jesus Christ and His gospel, because that brings God glory. That sets His name apart when people embrace His Son. And again, we studied all of these things in various passages. I'm simply recalling to your mind the specific requests. We pray, "Hallowed be Your name," when we ask God to enable you and others to bring Him glory by your living a life of righteousness and faithful service. Pray that God would enable you to stay on the path of righteousness to His glory for His name's sake, as the psalm says. And be faithful in your service. Tell God that you want to set His name apart by loving other Christians and ministering to them. We find in a variety of passages in the New Testament. And ask God to help you and others glorify Him by trusting Him even in the midst of your trials and persecutions. And finally, we pray this prayer when we commit ourselves, when we say to God, "God, I want to live not for my own peace, not for my own comfort, not for my own pleasure, but I want to live for Your glory." This is what it means to pray, "Hallowed be Your name." We want to do that together. And I've asked three men from our church to come and lead us, Dwight Custis, Dale Frank, and Scott Mason. You pray with them as they lead us in bringing glory to our God. Let's pray together. Amen. Thank you, men, very much. Well, we want to continue and move on to the second petition. The kingdom of God, Your kingdom come. And in preparation of our hearts for prayer, let's join together. Come, Thou fount of every blessing.
Come, Thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me song of Your starting, sung by clearing tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place, and I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the thought of God. He to me from danger, bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh,
new verse for us.
Oh, today when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed and in my blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day.
Well, that song puts into words that last stanza, the cry of your kingdom come. When we talk about praying to the Lord, your kingdom come, we're again talking about a couple of very direct and simple things. It simply refers the kingdom to the rule and reign of God. That kingdom has two aspects. There is a present aspect, which is simply the spiritual rule of God in the hearts of everyone who repents and believes in His Son. And it has, therefore, an expression like this when we pray, your kingdom come. We are praying that the current spiritual kingdom that has begun its work in our hearts and the hearts of others will continue to advance. That the work of God would be done in the hearts of those that love Him. And that others who don't know Him would see His rule, His reign, come to be a reality in their hearts as well. But there's also a future aspect to the kingdom. Jesus will, as we're told, physically return to this earth and set up a literal kingdom on the earth. Revelation 20 makes that clear. So when we pray, your kingdom come, not only are we asking God to advance the work of His kingdom, the spiritual kingdom in our hearts and in the hearts of others, but we're also asking God that He would cause Christ to return soon and set up His literal kingdom in this world. So when we look at this, here's how we should pray. When we pray, your kingdom come, ask God to use you and others in the church to share the gospel message with someone this week. Because that's how the kingdom is advanced in individual hearts, as other people come to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Tell God that this week you will seek to make His kingdom your top priority. And pray that for the rest of us as well as for your own family. Express your willingness to make personal sacrifices to advance the kingdom. And finally, ask the Lord to return soon for us. That's what it means to pray, your kingdom come. May your kingdom, Lord, be advanced now in the hearts of men and in a literal kingdom when you return. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so myopic. We are so selfish and self-focused that it's so hard for us to begin our prayers with You and with Your glory and Your name and then with Your kingdom. And yet, Lord, this is how our Lord taught us to pray. I pray that You would help us to be changed in our hearts and how we approach You. Lord, let us come with the great burden of our heart being Your glory first and foremost, and then the advancement of Your kingdom in the world. Father, we do pray that Your kingdom would come. We pray that Your kingdom would be advanced in each of our hearts this week. We who have already bowed the knee to Your Son, may the rule and reign that He has in our hearts expand. May the far-reached corners of our own hearts bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Lord, may there be no corner which we keep to ourselves, but may His kingdom permeate our hearts and a love for it and a desire to see it advanced. Father, I pray that You would help us to reach out beyond ourselves to others. Lord, we want so desperately family members, friends, co-workers that we know who are outside of Christ to come to know Him. And Lord, our prayer is that You would cause them to bow the knee to Christ. But Lord, we can't pray that without also praying that You would use us. And Lord, I pray that this week You would help each one of us here to be faithful, to declare the message of Christ, the wonderful good news of the gospel to somebody that You bring across our paths. Or, Father, I pray that You would give us wisdom in how to communicate the grace of Christ, that You'd give us love for that person. And Lord, I ask that in Your goodness, You would let us see fruit for our efforts. Lord, our desire is to see Your kingdom advanced and more people, starting with our own families, and those in our families who don't know You, and expanding to our extended families. And then, Father, in our church, certainly there are people who are a part of this congregation who have never truly bowed the knee to Christ. And Lord, I pray that that would be true. And then, Lord, our prayers really reach out across our city, across our state and this country, that You would advance Your kingdom heart by heart as people respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we commit to You that this week we will make Your kingdom our priority. I pray that for our church. Lord, we live in a world that is absorbed with stuff and distracted with temporary things, and so many Christians live that way. Father, I pray that You would help us this week to have You and Your kingdom in the first place in our lives. And Lord, our hearts cry out with the Apostle John, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Lord, not only do we want Your kingdom to advance in our hearts, but we want You to return and set up a literal kingdom in which righteousness reigns. We pray that He would come soon and take us away to Himself. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that moves us to the third petition, and that is the will of God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, one great expression of God's will that has been given to us is His Word. So let's sing together as we prepare to pray that third great petition about God's will being done, ancient words long preserved in His Word.
Let's stand together as we sing this.
Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us us grow. Hearing flow wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of the ancient true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
You may be seated.
The third petition, of course, is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A prayer for the will of God. What does this mean to pray this? Well, again, to summarize, to genuinely pray that petition is to pray that God would effect three great spiritual results. First of all, that He would enable us to deliberately reject every other will, our own will, the will of family members and friends as it conflicts with His will, Satan's will for us, which is to distract us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's also a prayer that God would enable us to unconditionally accept His sovereign will. You see, God has a sovereign will and purpose that He works out in the world, and we can either accept it joyfully or we can whine and complain. To pray, "Your will be done," is to submit our will to God's will and to say, "God, I accept what You sovereignly bring into my life." It means we're accepting it without qualification or argumentation. It also means willing obedience to God's revealed will. A significant part of this petition is that we would all obey God's commands, His revealed will, in the same way that those commands are obeyed in heaven. So when we pray, "Your will be done," we're essentially saying, "God, enable me to deliberately reject every will but Yours. Help me to accept Your sovereign will that You providentially bring circumstances into my life. Help me to gladly and freely accept those from Your hand. And then, Father, help me to pursue Your revealed will as it's laid out in the Word of God." Now, what does that mean practically? Well, to pray that God would enable us to accept His sovereign will means, "Lord, we want Your will, whatever is best for our country, for our lives, for our world, for our church. We want that to be done." It means, "God, in the big decisions of my life, in the major issues of my life, and in the lives of others, that they would respond to Your sovereign purpose and bow the knee and accept the circumstances You bring into their lives, perhaps trials and suffering, perhaps difficulty of various kinds." And that comes to the next part of the how to pray this. It's, "God, help me to accept Your will in my success, in my failures, in my riches, in my poverty, in my health, in my sickness, in marriage or singleness, in joy or sorrow, in ease and comfort or troubles and trials, and help me to accept Your purpose, whether it means life or death." And it also means, even in the daily issues, the people that walk into your office, the little accidents that occur that disrupt your life, the troubles of life, all of those things come from His hand. God causes all things, we're told, to work together for good. So to pray that we would accept God's sovereign will means that we bow the knee and we acknowledge His goodness in bringing the circumstances of life. It also means, and concerning His revealed will and the Word of God, we're to pray that we and all those that we know will be, remember those things that the Bible says are God's will for us, that we would be saved, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that we would be sanctified, that we would submit to authority, that we would show gratitude, that we'd be willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. We are to pray that God would enable us and those we know to fulfill those things that the Bible clearly says are His will. And of course, the Scripture speaks of much more that is God's will. And we're to pray that God would enable us to fulfill that in our lives, to live in obedience to what His Word teaches. That's all encompassed in this prayer, "Your will be done on earth," starting in my own heart, as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. I've asked Mr. Charles Sill to come and lead us in prayer as we lay this petition before the Lord. Well, that brings us to the fourth petition. And here we change from focusing on God Himself and His kingdom and His will to our own needs, and specifically the needs of this life. And of course, we understand that God is able to supply every need we have. So let's begin our contemplation of this petition with a reminder of that reality. Life, give us this day our daily bread. We should be praying that God would supply the needs of this life for our own families, for other believers, and ultimately for all of those who are in need, for all men, Paul tells us in Galatians 6:10. So, the way that fleshes out practically, what this means is every need of life is encompassed in this petition. It means that we should pray this: God, keep me and all of my fellow Christians humble and dependent on You each day. Give us those things that we need for life here and existence here, including food and clothing and shelter. And this is where prayer for health of those who are going through difficulty and trouble physically, for physical strength, for a strong mind, for the jobs that we need to sustain life here. All of the needs of this life are wrapped up in this request: give us this day our daily bread. It also means that we should tell the Lord that we're content with our circumstances as He's provided, and that we seek His forgiveness when we haven't been. If you have coveted, if you have found yourself discontent with the circumstances you have in life, you need to express that to the Lord even as you seek His provision for your needs. And finally, thank God for His overwhelming provision for you, for your family, for this church. And thank Him for His promise to always meet those needs in the future. That's what it means to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's to acknowledge God as the source of everything and to ask Him to provide it to sustain life here, to express to Him our contentment, our gratitude, and to thank Him for the great promise that He has always committed Himself to meet the needs that we have in this life. Now, for this portion of our time of prayer, I want us to do something a little different. I want you to get together in groups of 4 to 6, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to take no more than 2 minutes to briefly share, don't give your life's history, briefly share the single most important request concerning the needs of this life that you would like those people praying with you to remember. And within 2 minutes, I'd like for all of the 4 to 6 of you to have shared those. And then I want you to pray. And I will close this time with prayer myself. So go ahead, if you would, break off in groups of 4 to 6. Do it as quickly as you can so we don't take more time out of our service. Find somebody and pray with them together. And I'll close this in just a few minutes. Father, it's been a great joy to lift up the petitions that we have in our own lives together, to share our hearts with others. And Lord, we pray that this would become a practice in our own lives, in the life of our church, that we would share our burdens with one another so that we can bear them together. Lord, thank you that you have called us not to be alone in this world, but to be a part of your family. Thank you for this church and this family. We pray that you would continue to draw our hearts together in love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we move to the fifth petition. Of course, it concerns the forgiveness of sin. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's appropriate that we sing in preparation for this Purify My Heart.
Let's stand together.
Me be as gold and precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire.
Jesus taught us to pray that for forgiveness of our sins. To pray this petition really requires 3 great heart responses. It requires us to acknowledge the reality of our own sinfulness, to understand the nature of forgiveness We talked about this at length because it's so important as believers that we understand that when we come each day, we are approaching our own Father, asking Him to forgive our debts against Him and restore not the relationship, that hasn't been affected. He remains our Father once He becomes that, but to restore our fellowship with Him. And we ask that because of what Christ did, even as we studied it this morning on the cross. The third heart response is to meet the basic condition of forgiveness. God doesn't forgive us on the grounds of our forgiving others, but He does say that He will not forgive us if we don't forgive others. And we are to have a spirit or attitude of forgiveness toward those who've sinned against us, and there's to be a full and complete restoration where there is repentance. And so this is the spirit in which we are to pray for the forgiveness of sins. Specifically, 1 John 1:9 gives us some very practical directives here. We're told, first of all, to confess specific sins. When you think about your sins, think of them in two categories. Think of them as those you have omitted to do, those things that you are required to do by God that you have failed to do. That is, most obviously, to perfectly love God and to perfectly love others. That should be where your confession of sin begins. And frankly, we always have something to confess there because not one of us, a single moment of our lives, has been without that sin. Because none of us, for a single second, has loved God perfectly or loved others as we've loved ourselves. We're also to pray for sins of commission. That is, when we have chosen actively to sin in either thought or attitude, word, or action. You know, we tend as Christians to spend a lot of our time confessing actions. And that's as it should be. But the Scripture has every bit as much to say about sins of thought and sins of attitude as it does action. When's the last time you confessed the sin of pride, sin of selfishness? Those are every bit as much sins that concern God as the sins of action, which are merely the fruit of these heart sins. So John says we're to confess specific sins, our sins, plural. He also says that we're to accept full responsibility. The word confess means to say the same thing that God says. It means I buy into the reality that I have sinned against God's holy law and character, and I deserve whatever I get. And I'm coming to acknowledge that to a holy God. We plead the character of God. John says He's faithful. You see, God has made promises to us. We can ask and expect forgiveness because God has promised and He'll be faithful to that promise. When you come to confess your sin, you have nothing to plead except God. To say, God, I don't deserve this. I come again for the umpteenth time this week to seek Your forgiveness. I can only come pleading Your own character. You are faithful to Your Word, and this is what You promised to do. And then we can thank God that Christ on the cross earned that forgiveness. John says He is just to forgive our sins. It brings up the verse there in Romans that God is just and the justifier because of what He did to Christ. And then we can expect full and complete forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how we're to confess to the Lord. Now don't worry, I'm not going to have you get into groups to confess your sin. What I want you to do is take a moment of silent prayer and rehearse to God specific sins, sins of thought, sins of attitude, sins of word and action that are against His will, failing to love Him and to love others. Let's take a few moments. Father, You have heard each of us as we have poured out our own sins to You. Thank You that You are a forgiving God, that You are by nature a Savior, one who rescues us from our sin. Thank You that at the cross You loosed us, as the Apostle John says, from our sins through the blood of Your Son. And Father, we come asking Your forgiveness, and not simply Your forgiveness, but Your cleansing. Lord, sin is like a dark blot on our souls, and we pray that You would cleanse us, that You would restore to us, as David prayed, the joy of our salvation. Lord, that we would hasten, that we would run to You every time we sin, rather than wait and linger at a distance, fearing to come, hesitating to come. Father, help us to come to the throne of grace and find grace for our sins, grace that is greater than all our sin. Thank You that You are a forgiving God. We rest in the hope, and in fact, the promise that You have made, that when we confess our sins, You are faithful to keep Your promise. You are just. It's a part of Your character. You will do this for Your own name's sake. Thank You, Father, that You take us again to Yourself, just as that wonderful picture of the Father grasping the prodigal to His chest. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the final petition. It concerns growth in holiness. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's really a prayer both for protection from sin as well as a desire for personal holiness. And so, to prepare our hearts, let's sing together, "Take My Life."
And let me invite you to stand once again as we sing this.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what You want from me.
Remind you of what it means to pray this petition. It's really a prayer for growth in holiness. It means that we should ask God to keep us from any temptation to which we would be prone to fall, to which we would be prone to succumb. And the second half, deliver us from evil, is really asking God to bless our efforts at obedience so that in our lives we see a decreasing pattern of sin and an increasing pattern of holiness. That's what it means to pray this great petition. Practically speaking, then, this is what it looks like in our lives to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation," means, "God, work through Your providence to keep me and others from any temptation to which we might succumb or that would cause us to fall. And God, deliver us from evil. Providentially direct our lives and our circumstances and bless our efforts at obedience with the result that all of us would see a decreasing pattern of sin in our lives and an increasing pattern of holiness. This is what it means to pray this great petition, and I'm going to ask Rocky Wyatt to come and lead us together as we pray. Trust that you have enjoyed our time this evening, and I hope that you will, in your own life, set a pattern similar to this from time to time. Set aside a block of time and spend it with the Lord, following through this amazing prayer that He's given us as a pattern. Let me just mention, as we dismiss our service, that some of you have gotten the journals that I worked on, put together, that sort of a tool to help each of us spend time in the Word of God each day and pray each day. Let me just tell you that if you already have that journal, I've taken the messages that I did on those six petitions and reduced them to tab dividers, one side front and back, each petition, sort of a summary of I've put up here for you tonight. Those are available for you to pick up free of charge in the foyer afterwards if you've already purchased the journal. If you haven't purchased the journal, you can do that in the bookstore and then you can go get those as well. But they're available for you. I hope they'll be a great resource in encouraging you to follow the pattern that we've followed tonight. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a great week. The Lord bless you.